Would you know how to get rid of your fear, phobia, stress, or anxiety? How to burst your fear and transform your life? Welcome to Fear Buster Show, presented by Lauren Rosenberg, fear and phobia relief expert and author of How to Move Forward When the Unthinkable Happens. You are listening to UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio with Lauren Rosenberg. www.fear-busters.com.
Hi, welcome back to Fear Buster. My name is Lauren Rosenberg. I'm your host today. And today we're going to talk about fear of not being a good mum. Have you ever worried about not being a good mum, doing it wrong, feeling being pregnant and wondering if everything is going to be okay and if you can be able to cope and if you're going to be a good mum? So we are today having today our guest is Ivana Poco, who is going to talk about her fear of not being a good mum. Welcome to the show, Ivana, and just tell us a bit more about how did that fear came along? How did that even start it in the first place?
Right. Hi, Lauren, and thank you so much for having me here today. Okay, so in terms of when it started, I think it started right after I learned I was pregnant and I didn't experience the feelings I had expected to experience. So,
what feeling did you think you were going to expect? Can you tell our listeners what did you have in mind? Because I know when I was pregnant for my first one, I don't know, I just went along, didn't think really much about it. I did have a feeling that all the things I've read or heard before, I'm not going to think about it, and I'm not going to have, I personally felt like I'm not going to have any cravings, I'm not going to feel sick, my body's going to take that pregnancy, and it's just going to happen with the flow. Luckily it did and it was fine. But so I'm just curious, if you wouldn't mind sharing with our listeners, what did you have in mind? What did you think?
Of course. I'm glad you mentioned that, because this is the thing that most first-time moms, they worried about or think about what cravings they're going to have or how they're going to feel physically, yeah, if they're going to experience nausea, etc. But they don't really realize the emotional side that comes with it. So, for instance, in my case, and I know it's not my case only, I experienced regret. So I wasn't excited, really. I was on and off, I would say. But
Ivana, the regret of what? What did you
say? Of the decision to have children. That came a bit later, maybe second trimester, because it wasn't like really depression or anything like that yet, but I would have said there were glimpses of regret or mixed feelings. For instance, when I learned I was pregnant, before I couldn't wait I really wanted a family and everything so long. So I thought that when it would happen, I would be all over the moon. Yeah.
So you had an expectation. You were thinking.
And I was shocked. I felt so scared. I just felt so scared, because then once it's real, you realize what is changing, no? Then, and
the changes of the body or the changes in your life? How long ago was that?
So my boys, I have twin boys, they're four now. So yeah,
five years ago. So you found out that you're pregnant, and instead of being so exciting and looking forward to it, and suddenly this massive big worry came up. Is that what you're saying? This big
I was really, really scared, because that was with my husband, it was then boyfriend. We had been together for only few weeks, when we learned I was pregnant. So, and it was planned, I have to say, but we thought it would take years. But anyway, so it was a huge shock, and it was like, where are we going to live? will we have enough money, and all these things that came.
So your mind was racing, all the thoughts were coming into your mind. So what did you do?
I cried.
You cried?
Yeah, I cried. I had to let it out because it's really a huge, huge shock. And then, yeah, of course, the emotion settled. Yeah. And then...
And then we got the hormones kicking in.
Yeah, exactly. So then I saw the kids. There was a moment, I remember, I saw the children as aliens that came between me and my husband because we didn't really have time to enjoy each other. And then once, you know, I saw the belly was growing, everything, I was really scared how it would affect our relationship, if we will still have time for each other, or if it's the end for us, things like that.
So during the pregnancy, you had quite a lot of fears.
Yes.
Did you know that, I mean, I do birth session and I work on mum, and I go back into the pregnancy and had the babies born to release fear for the child who's born. Because did you know that sometimes if mum, while she's pregnant, is scared of something or has fear, the baby will actually feel it, because it's a frequency. So that will be the energy of fear, and that can be passed on to the child. And then later on, sometimes there could be some sign of the child being an anxious child, even if nothing happened,
right?
Or feeling a bit fearful. That can sometimes be passed on. I just wanted to, you know, mention it to our listeners, just in case they seeing a relation between the birth and how their child is. But how did you cope? Because it's already hard enough to learn that you're pregnant, and then your body is changing. Plus, you have to deal with the hormones. Plus, you have this little one growing. And in your case, should we tell our listeners, it wasn't just one little one.
Yeah. It was two little ones.
It was two.
Double the shock.
Double the shock. It was two. So you had to be prepared to even welcome two little ones, not just one.
Yeah.
So, all those thoughts kept on coming in, worrying about being a good mum. Not, am I going to be a good mum? Am I going to cope? And all those worries with relationships. What? How did you manage? What made you keep going? And I mean, were you aware of it, or you just sort of got on with your day and ignored it? Or sometimes we don't connect when we're so scared. I've met mums where they're so scared that they prefer not to connect with the baby until the baby is born.
Mm-hmm.
They just ignore the pregnancy, so, which is a shame in a way, because it's such a beautiful period of time, and it was so nice to be able to connect even more.
Mm.
How did you? Could you tell our listeners, how did you go through it? How did you manage?
Yeah. So in my case, it wasn't really a magical time for me, to be honest, but it wasn't a constant feeling of fear. It was on and off. That's what made it maybe even more dangerous, because if you're constantly low, then you can't really hide it, can you? But in my case, I was on and off.
So no one had any idea.
Sorry?
No one had any idea in your family that you were worried or feeling like this?
I asked questions. I talked to my husband, of course, and I think I asked something my mom as well, but it came across as normal fears, common natural fears. So there was no reason to be worried really at the time. I didn't see it as I'm hiding something, because we all have something we're scared of, or we have our secrets that we keep for ourselves. So it was just different or new thoughts that haunted me, if I can say. And the fear of the fact that I didn't enjoy pregnancy the way I thought I would, that was the reason I thought I was feeling as a mom already.
Okay. So you mean the fact you didn't enjoy it, you were wondering what it was going to be like afterwards?
I thought, I don't have that connection. I didn't feel connection really. So I thought I was going to be a bad mom because of that.
And that was totally new. That was a fear that you never ever thought that was going to happen, because the pregnancy was planned. You were expecting to feel overjoyed, happy, like you see us maybe in the cinema or in a movie, films, or in the dream pregnancy, everything goes well. And then suddenly it was a shock. This fear came up. When did you find out you were expecting twins?
Second scan, it was, I think, how many weeks they do that? 21, I think.
24,
so, yeah. Oh, no, it was the first one. Sorry, that was gender scan. Sorry. No. Yeah, I apologize. So it was the very first scan.
So what happened? Were you okay?
You know what? That's the thing. I was so happy to have twins because I always wanted to have twins. But we were actually laughing with my husband because the whole relationship was so unusual that it just fit into the whole story.
I have a friend of mine, and when she had a scan, she was told that she was expecting quads. That was a big shock. That was a really big shock. But having a scan and suddenly finding out instead of one, there's two or three or four, that is a big shock. But you took it really well.
I was happy. My husband was shocked, but in a nice way. His eyes widened when he saw that. But he was a bit shocked, but he was fine.
Did this fear of not being a good mom, worrying when you're going to give birth to them, how did that, what happened at the end? You managed the whole pregnancy, you're hidden it a little bit, those thoughts were coming up, creeping in, growing probably in your mind. And then you gave birth. Was birth okay? Everything went well?
Yes, I have to mention here.
That's fine.
So glad you mentioned that. This is very interesting. I think it's to do with hormones. But during the third trimester, I felt excited and I was looking forward to see the boys.
Good. Excellent.
It didn't last long, the third trimester, because my boys came 6 weeks early. But yeah, I was really, that's when it kicked in, the hormones of happiness, or how should I say. So, and then in terms of birth, it happened unexpectedly because, 6 weeks early, we expected them to come early, but not 6 weeks. So it just happened very quickly. It was an emergency C-section. My husband he wasn't there because he was in London and he couldn't get to the hospital on time. All the traffic going on and tubes, so I was alone. Like I mentioned, it was emergency C-section, and the boys couldn't breathe, so they had to take them to the incubators right away.
So that was scary.
So there was, we missed that initial contact, which I think didn't help.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. So when you had this first initial contact, into skin with your twin, what happened? Did you get a connection?
You know what, we only got to hold them after 3 days and only for a few minutes. That's when I felt the rush of love I was expecting. That was amazing. I'll never forget that feeling, but it wore off very quickly, like a drug effect. So again, there were moments when I felt high on happiness, and then 2 seconds after I could be completely low. So that was
what happened when you were feeling low? What happened? Were you able to look after them or not, or what?
So the first, I have to mention here, the first time I saw them, this was shocking for me as well, that I didn't feel any love, anything really, when I just saw them through the glass. And everyone was talking about this amazing feeling of love I would feel first time I see them. And that didn't happen. So immediately I felt like a horrible mother. And the fear kicked in again. Oh my God, what is wrong with me? What kind of mother am I going to be if I don't love my children? But then, like I mentioned, the skin-to-skin contact helped, but only for a while again. So,
So sometimes when those things can happen, there can also be fear of connection, fear of attachment, fear of starting to be attached to someone, a little one who's going to need me, who's going to be depending on me. Sometimes that can go back to maybe some childhood event that was not dealt with, and then things can come up. I don't know what your mum was like with you, if there was a big connection or not at the beginning. So sometimes there could be some emotion trapped that we don't even know. And when an event comes up, it can just come up. So you came home with the twins, plus you've had a C-section, so you needed to recover, and that takes quite a bit of time too.
Mm.
So how did you manage?
Yeah, I wouldn't have said that I was scared to connect, because I wanted to connect so badly, and it just didn't happen. And that created a fear, or started a fear of being a bad mom. But then we spent about two weeks, I think, with the boys in the hospital, where my postnatal depression started. Because
could you stay with them, or you had to, so you were lucky you could stay with them all the time?
I'm not sure if it was luck, to be honest, because that's when my depression kicked in, and it was the beginning of hell for all of us. Yeah. So again, I was scared of that if I didn't do it, if I didn't stay with them there, if I didn't breastfeed, then I would be a horrible mother. That's why I did it, even though my inner voice was screaming, don't do it, because I knew it wouldn't go well, especially with my claustrophobia and all the hormones all over the place. But the head midwife said, if I wanted to breastfeed, I need to be with them all the time. So I didn't listen to my inner voice, and I was scared of being a horrible mother. So I did it, and it didn't end up going really well.
I mean, definitely for them, it was the best thing to have, to hear your voice.
Maybe, but I was constantly crying at the time. I was depressed, really.
Did anybody notice it while you were there?
Of course, my husband did. Mm-hmm. But again, it came and then went, so I wasn't low all the time.
Were you actually aware that that was what's happening, or you were just feeling exhausted? Because you used the word depression, but at the time, were you actually aware that there was something not quite right, that there was not the way you should have felt, or were you just like exhausted and tired and just?
That's a great question. I love that question, because it's very important to say that with depression, you don't know you have it, in most cases anyway. So I didn't know. I know it now, of course, but I didn't know it then. It was depression. I just felt horrible, regretful. I wanted to turn back time. And I felt like a complete failure. This is how I felt. Mm. And you don't realize it's depression.
Yeah, because of course there's so many expectations. People see, okay, a new mom, twins, the excitement, the new life, moving forward. And there's so many expectations, breastfeeding.
Yeah.
But if during the pregnancy you already had all those fears and they piled up and they weren't dealt with, suddenly you gave birth and the birth is not the way you want it either. Mm-hmm. You probably knew you would have a C-section, but they decided to come early in the world, and all the hormones, the recovery and everything together, there is definitely at some point you're going to break down, because mm-hmm. too much. It's like emotion baggages, and you've carried those baggages for so long. They have to come out somewhere. If it's breaking down in tears or screaming or crying, it has to come out. You're right, especially when you gave birth, you probably were not at all aware of what was going on, because it's too much. Yeah.
You just feel like a failure. That's all you feel.
So what happened? How did you deal with that fear of failure?
Didn't really deal with it, to be honest. I had a huge support in my husband. I think he didn't realize it was depression either at the time. So he was very supportive, and he encouraged me to seek professional help, which I did, but they prescribed antidepressants. But I wasn't taking them regularly, because, again, I was scared that being on antidepressants as a new mom means that you're a horrible mother. So I didn't take them. I put all my effort into hiding my feelings from the world for 8 months. And that's when I During these 8 months, I managed to survive only thanks to my husband. If it wasn't for him, I don't know how it would have ended.
So you're lucky you had support.
Yeah, definitely. This is why I have special respect for single moms. Very special respect. I just don't know how they do it, to be honest. But yeah, anyway. So yeah, I suffered in silence for 8 months. That's when I, like you mentioned, you just reach rock bottom and yeah. You just break down. And yeah, my friend found me crying, so there was no way to hide it anymore.
So, and then at that time also, there was lack of sleep, looking after the two little ones who needed yeah. you. So when you reached rock bottom, what did you do?
So I was forced to talk about it, because when you hit rock bottom, there is no way you can hide things anymore, which is good.
Yeah, because it's way. You can't lose anything else.
You're just exactly reached,
yeah.
lose.
You may as well just start talking.
Get on with it. Yeah.
Do you think that's part of really breaking down is because you were hiding it. You did a really good job of hiding it, and you never talked about it to anyone.
Yeah. Of course, it builds up though, so you can't, like you mentioned, 100% true. You can't hide it for forever. It's emotions, they need to go out.
Exactly. So that's exactly what I do in a session, is releasing emotion trapped in the body, because if they don't come out, there will be some sign, either some pain in the body, either the heart beating fast, or complete breakdown. Mm-hmm. We're not a mechanical, we are a human being, we have emotions, and the emotion needs to flow in and out. But if they get trapped in the body, that's when it has a big impact on us. So,
absolutely.
So you started talking to your friend, mm-hmm. And so how did you get out of it? What did you do? What did you find useful?
So when I spoke to her, it felt so good. It was a huge relief, and I understood
lighter,
that
feeling lighter.
Yeah, so much more. I couldn't understand why I was suffering in silence for so long, because she was really supportive, and so the fear was based on I don't know what it was based on, my own thoughts, or I don't know, insecurities maybe, but there was no reason to be worried, I understood, or scared. And when I opened up and spoke to more moms, I understood that most of them felt like I did. And they were also scared to talk about it. So we were scared together.
It's nice to know that you know, we're not on your own, that you were not going just suffering from that fear just on your own. It was just not just you. There are a lot of mums out there who feel pregnant, going through the pregnancy, may not be aware of all the thoughts. They may think that it's normal. They may think it's not. They may feel guilty because those thoughts are coming into their mind, and they don't know how to deal with it. And I presume, or I would definitely, as an expert, would say to deal with it there and then, not to wait until giving birth.
Absolutely.
That's for sure. So, yeah. But so you find out that lots of mums feel the same. That is normal. There is, to a certain extent, that there is fear. So, did you go and see someone, or how did you deal with the depression? I know you said you were taking medication, but not regularly.
I started to take them regularly.
Okay.
Which really helped, of course, because they help. They don't heal you, but they allow you to work on you, on yourself, on your mindset. Because if you're really, really depressed, like severe depression that you can't even get out of bed in the morning, then you can't work on yourself. That this is where antidepressants can be really useful, because they allow you to function.
Did they diagnose you with postnatal depression at some point, or?
Yeah, it wasn't like official, oh, you have postnatal depression. Yeah. But when I described all these emotions and feelings, they just said it's very, very common, very normal. And they prescribed antidepressants. And then I saw a counselor for a few months as well, which helped. But the best medication was talking about my feelings, emotions, and not suffering in silence anymore. That was the best treatment.
Is that something that before you would always have done, just kept all the emotions in? Is that like your personality before in your childhood or as an adult? Did you always felt like keeping everything in, or that was just because?
Yeah. I would have said I spent many years being scared to follow my inner voice and my guts, my intuition, not so much emotions, but rather my inner voice, because you always know what's best for you, but you're scared to do it.
that's true.
Yeah, especially moms, but they are scared of being judged in many cases.
Lots of judgment out there. So you're starting taking the medication, you're starting seeing a counselor, and so did you notice the changes, and did you feel more connected to the twins?
Yes, absolutely. The love started to grow even during those 8 months. It grew, yeah. And it still grows. I don't know if it ever stops. But I can't say it wasn't there. It was there, but sometimes this depression, I call it a demon, evil, it possessed my mind, so I didn't think clearly. So, yeah. And then once I started to work on myself, I felt better. Then the evil voice stopped talking to me. So this was the biggest change.
So, and how did that change? What was the big difference? How did you feel?
How I felt after it changed? Oh, free. I felt free. And I felt very strong and empowered to do something about it and to help other moms. This is how I started my business, but we can talk about it later. But I felt so empowered to energize, to do a difference, in big difference in life. Because I'm 100% convinced that one of the reasons moms struggle is unrealistic expectations and lots of judgment around us. So I really felt empowered to help them and change this.
It is, it's true, you're right, it's expectations, sometimes even family. You just expect, and giving birth and then recovering and everything is fine. And even feeling pregnant, sometimes mothers out there don't know that sometimes you may not like it. You may not like the body changes. Not everyone really enjoy pregnancy.
Yeah.
So that is something that you're not on your own. You can deal with it. You can talk about it. You can learn to enjoy it. Obviously, there's a fear of giving birth, a fear of not being a good mom. There's lots of different fears.
Absolutely.
But like you said, it's important to talk about it, and especially to know that you're not on your own. You're not the only one. There is no guide of being a good mom, or there's no not good, not no yeah. good mom in that sense, because it's a learning. It's a journey. It's a learning experience from the beginning and after giving birth, and you keep learning every single step. You have twins, and they're probably very different, both of them, and you just keep learning every day, every month, every year as they grow. All those challenges are coming up, and you just, it's just a learning experience, and you keep learning and adjusting. But when you're so feeling so down and you're not able to adjust, and that's what creates the problem. That's what creates the feeling stuck. I'm glad you're telling the listeners that you felt light. And this is exactly what happened with emotion trapped in the body. They're trapped in the body, and if they're not released, they will make you feel really heavy and they will drag you down. Once you start releasing them, if it's through CBT or counseling or EFT or color therapy or eye movement therapy or body code, whatever therapy or advice that you're using, that will create an opening to release emotions. As you start releasing them, you're going to allow more happiness to come in, more joy, and you're going to feel lighter and you're going to be able to function better.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
That's what's happened. And that's why I see it with my clients all the time. And even the skin complexion changes, the eyes are sparkling, you just completely change and you're actually able to move forward and plan the future and decide what you want. And then you take control. And once you take control, then other things can happen in your life. But you turn this story of what happened, your own experience, into helping others.
Yes, I
did. So how did you do that?
Yeah, it happened naturally because, like I mentioned, I had this strength and energy, passion, dedication to make a change for other moms. So at first I started blogging about motherhood, reality of motherhood, about things people don't talk about.
That's actually really, you're right. That is, it's a really important word, is reality.
Yeah.
It's not what you see on TV. It's not what you see on Instagram, the nice pictures, mom looking pregnant, looking so well and nicely dressed and makeup and everything is fine. We're talking about real reality, not hiding that it's okay to cry. It's okay to not feel good. It's okay to find it really hard to connect with the pregnancy.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So you started doing those blogs and did anybody connected with you, replied? And
Yeah. It was really nice because I was expecting judgmental comments. I was preparing for it. But all I ever received at the time anyway was support and messages saying, thank you for doing this because you're helping me to not feeling alone, to not feeling like a failure. So that was an amazing feeling. And then I started to write a book and I published a book in 2019 called Motherhood, the Unspoken.
I like it.
And it's, yeah, I think it speaks for itself, not the title.
Can you tell to our listeners where we can find your book?
Sure. It's available on Amazon at the moment. And it talks about all the realities of motherhood. And it offers, apart from, because I didn't want to scare anyone, of course, but it shows what can happen and how to deal with it. Yeah, and it offers a huge support and helps prevent depression as well.
It's very good. And did you find, what did people say after reading your book? Did they find the date?
I didn't get one negative feedback, which is amazing. I'm sure they will come. You can't avoid that. But so far, it's brilliant. And one lady even messaged me saying that I saved her life, which made me cry. It was just, this is why I wrote it. And even if it should help this one lady, it was bloody worth it.
Definitely. It is, even if you help one person, it's worth, not easy to write a book, take a lot of effort, a lot of hours.
It does.
I know from my own experience, because I also wrote a book. But it's really important to turn the negative and how you've gone through it and share your experience so that people out there know that there is a way out. There is a beautiful way out. You can actually really enjoy the children, enjoy your twins, and you can really turn things over. Because when you're feeling so down, and it's like you only see that dark tunnel. But it's really important for everyone to remember that there's always a light at the end of that tunnel. You just have to keep going, and find the right tools on the way. It's like you've got little stones in the way you want on your path, and you just got to remove the stones in the way to keep going until you actually reach that light. But when you reach that light, you actually feel light. This is one of the reasons why I also wrote the book Love, Light and Leora, because once you really deal with the emotion, you feel light, and that is exactly what it is. So the twins are now, how old are they?
They're four.
What is it like? What's life like?
It's good. I can't complain. Of course, there are challenges, but it's nothing like it was. And like I said, once the maternal love settles, it's beyond incredible. You know that as a mom yourself. That is the best feeling in the world.
So you said to our listeners that when you gave birth, he just wanted to, he said, oh, there's no going back, but I would have wished to go back to where I was.
No way, I would have traded this for the world now.
What would you say now?
No way on the planet. But as my boy started to grow, I realized that it's not just postnatal period that's difficult. It's every stage has something that is challenging. And as I saw moms around me being, even with older children, being stressed, tired, overwhelmed, and they stopped living their lives even, I decided to take my support further. I completed an NLP course and I start to work as a happy motherhood coach. So this is what I do now.
Can you tell our listeners, if they don't know what NLP means, can you tell them?
Sure. So it stands for neuro-linguistic programming. And it's I don't know if I can say type of therapy, but it is in a way that allows you to reprogram your subconscious mind, as opposed to talking therapy, that very often it takes a lot of time to get through all the layers.
Yes.
So it goes straight to subconscious, and often you don't even have to talk about your struggles, and we still have to, we can deal with them. So
yeah, that's it's reprogramming certain ideas, and it's using the right language. This is why it's like a neuro-linguistic program. I use it also a little bit, but it's, you're right, talking helps, but you need a little bit more than that. You need more guidance, and NLP can really do that. It's using the right words that will uplift you instead of drag you down.
So, or images.
Or images, maybe. I don't know too much about NLP, but I know the wording. But yeah, so you're using images. Also, when you think, the way you mentioned looking at challenges, I like looking on the positive side also. So as the children grow, instead of thinking there's going to be some obstacle, just like it's going to be an experience. Experience is always easy to deal with it and to get over that a problem.
Yeah, I was going to say, as you were talking about emotions, I learned this from my children. They are brilliant now. They feel frustrated, they cry, they have tantrums, but then they don't spend nights overthinking or done and dusted, and I love that.
Yeah, because they let it go. And this is the part that sometimes we as adults find it really hard, is to let it go. And sometimes just breathing, just taking a deep breath and say, I give myself permission to let it go. In itself can make a big, big difference.
Absolutely.
That is. So are you using also NLP for yourself, or do you have a
routine? I cure my anxiety with that, morning anxiety. There are so many techniques you can use, but I used eye movement technique. So you just need. This is amazing that it brings instant results. You don't have to do 200 sessions.
It's true. Eye movement therapy is amazing. For the listeners out there who may not know what to do, you can always reach me and ask me any questions. But it's you're getting the eyes to move in different directions while you're thinking of an image, an unwanted image, or an image that has a negative emotion that is scaring you, and gradually the image will, sometimes people will say, oh, it gets blur, sometimes it's further away, sometimes they can't even see it anymore. It's like accessing the mind and deleting the images.
The
good thing about it is that you don't even need to say what you're thinking to the person who's doing it, to the practitioner who's doing it, so you don't even have to go through all the trauma. Not everyone can do it. There's a bit of coordination, because you have to hold on to the picture and looking and allowing your eyes to move in different direction. But a lot of people can do it, and for a lot of people, it really helps. So you use that for certain things, for specific.
Yeah, it's not just that I do, but when I coach moms, I use mindset techniques and NLP techniques, and also personal experience to help them push past their struggles. It's when they want one off session, I usually do NLP with them, but if they want continuous support, like have a coach who pushes them forward and really change their lives in the nicest possible way, and their motherhood experience, this is when we do much more than just NLP.
Yeah, because you're allowing them to really enjoy.
Yeah, motherhood. Because it should be uplifting and free. I have it now, but I struggled myself as well. So why not help others, isn't it?
Beautiful. Excellent. So what would you say to mothers out there who are really not enjoying their pregnancy, are really, really scared, especially now things have changed even more. We are in a pandemic. They may not even be allowed to have their partners, their husband, or who a doula or whoever they wanted to be there for them to give birth. Everything's changed. So, and they may also have to give birth wearing a mask. Everything, all the experience could be really scary. What would you say? How would you help them and support them? And just what would you say to them?
Of course. So my number one advice is to talk to someone you love, someone who is close to you. Because, of course, ideally you speak to a professional, but let's be realistic. If you feel a complete failure, it's the last thing you want to do, talk to a stranger who you don't know how they will react and you're scared of them judging you too. So I would definitely start with someone you trust, someone who you love, who is close to you. Ideally, someone who went through something similar as well.
So reaching out.
Yeah, reaching out and talk to them, talk about your feelings. And I promise you'll be amazed by how they react in a nice way, of course.
Is that what was your worry? You were worried how they would react if you share your
judgment. And I know this is the case for 90% of mothers who struggle in a way.
So excellent. So Ivana, where can those men find you if they want to reach out?
Sure. So my website, it's www.momsjourney.com, all one word. They can also find me on Facebook. My handle is momsjourneyip. And this is where they can find me and learn more about my work and my story.
Excellent. Ivana, I just want to say thank you very much for being my guest today. Thank you very much for sharing with our listeners today about the fear of not being a good mum and how you overturned it. And I'm sure that they can look it up and find out more. I think it's a very important subject. And I think it's really important that all the mums out there know that there is help, and whatever help you get, this is the beginning, this is the start, and there is a way out. You can really enjoy it. Thank you so much for being our guest today. You're listening to UK House Radio. It's Lauren Rosenberg, Fearbuster, and have a great day.